All right, let's get right to it. Hour three, a couple of coronavirus headlines, and we'll bring Dr. Henry Nyman on, and we'll do our regular Monday coronavirus nightly report. Miami, Florida, is now the coronavirus epicenter, just as Wuhan was. It is, Miami is just being battered. Trump identifies another hoax, the coronavirus. So, Donald, if nothing else, Donald stays on message, even if the message is insane. Trump aides seek to discredit Fauci over coronavirus crisis as cases surge. So Trump has got his loyalists now trying to discredit Dr. Faustus. Trump says he likes Fauci personally after promoting a tweet without evidence attacking all lying doctors. So the Donald is seemingly on a self-defeating course here. 2020 Chicago Marathon canceled. Big surprise, not. A CDC mask effectiveness story for you. Drug makers, one of them, will begin a coronavirus vaccine production, apparently, program by the end of summer, which is not far away. No testing, no long-term safety studies will be done. This is a one of many virus vaccines that are in the works. Governor Newsom in California orders all Southern California churches, bars, restaurants, theaters, malls to close again. And L.A. County followed right up with closing all non-critical offices to try to shut down the viral surge there. An L.A. apparel factory is closed after more than 300 cases. L.A. school classroom instruction for the start of the 2020-21 school year has been canceled. Coronavirus is now being spread to rural America. It's coming to small-town America. We knew this. It's going to go everywhere. All right, Henry, welcome back. Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah, it was relatively busy and trying to keep up with all the counts, actually.
Yeah.
Which are predictably at a new level now and continuing to rise, even though it's a weekend. Numbers, as I said before, usually dip on the weekend. Both Saturday, Sunday, and Monday tallies really are affected by the weekend because most of the labs do the data the day before, and they spend the day kind of compiling what they received on the day before, and that's what they put up on their websites. So even Monday is affected because they're really, most of them are tabulating Sunday's results. And some of the states don't report anything on the weekends now. And so the weekends typically dip, but this week, the numbers stayed pretty high. I mean, what I've got, just to give a quick update on the totals, for Saturday, which would be mostly Friday's results, 64,098 cases on so that would be Saturday's report. And then Sunday's was 58,177. And today's was 59,695. And I think there's probably another update from California coming in. So it'll probably end up over 60,000. So on an average, the 3 days averaged over 60,000 a day. And you know, this is a marked increase. Not very long ago, the numbers were around 20,000 a day, and when it was plateaued. So the number of cases being reported is about three times what it was a few weeks ago. And once we're past these weekend numbers for the rest of this week, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets up to 80,000. Fauci had predicted that the numbers would rise up to 100,000 cases a day. And the way it's shaping up right now, it's really a matter of when, not if, it's going to hit 100,000. And it may hit 100,000, and let's see, maybe before August, before school starts. And that's what's so remarkable about what's going on. I mean, the two big stories that I'll talk a little bit about is that the numbers keep on going up, and that's going to make it impossible for schools to responsibly have in-class sessions. And then the other is the attack on Dr. Fauci and science in general. Science are inconvenient truths, so they would like to get rid of the messenger because they really don't like the message. But it's the schools are going to be pretty iffy. Trump had his surrogates out over the weekend on the talk shows, mostly yesterday, and the boss was saying there all the classes have to be open, and they kind of said, well, is there any funding for this, or is there any way, how are they going to do this? Oh, that's up to the individual schools. And then Fairfax County, it was mentioned last week and again today, had a plan, and it was kind of a hybrid. They were essentially surveying the students or their parents to find out, whether they would prefer in-class only or online only or a hybrid between the two. And she, in that task force press release, she kind of targeted Fairfax County and said, they can't do that. They have to have all the students there all the time. and so over the weekend, they're trying to say, well, how are they going to do this? To get more separations, to do testing. And she just repeated all the students all the time. They're morons. I mean, they're going. They're just making these proclamations. I think something like 17 attorney generals have gotten together for an appeal of Trump's policy that if foreign students don't take classes, if they just do online, they'll be deported. And that's so typical Trump. I mean, he comes up with this thing without any warning. These students have all kind of plans made. They're scheduled to go to school here, and they don't have an alternative that all of a sudden they can go ahead and stay in whatever country they're from over the summer and get into any class on a 1 month notice type of a thing. And they're paying the tuition to get the college education, and there may be some classes that they would have to go on campus, but they would probably prefer not to if they don't have to. They would just as soon take them online if they're being offered that way, and they are going to be offered that way. Right. And Trump has no jurisdiction over the individual schools. I mean, that's handled by the states. They don't really get money. They may be asking for money now because of the pandemic and a new wave of financing, support. But the L.A. County School District announced today that no classes in person, they'll all be online. San Diego School District said no in-house classes, they'll all be online.
Right.
As I mentioned earlier, the University of California and California State Systems both said all of the classes will be online. And, you know, the situation is just absurd because you've got states like Texas and states like Florida. Florida broke a record on Sunday.
Yeah.
They reported 15,000 cases in one day. They followed up today with 12,000 cases. And Rebecca Jones, who used to run the state of Florida's website on coronavirus, and ended up being fired for refusing to fix the data. So it looked like some of the counties had met the criteria for reopening before they reopened. And she refused to manipulate it. So they fired her. She's actually got her own own website mirroring the Florida health site. But he's noted that they've left out about 10,000 positives for the total cases normally. The cases that are positive serologically are included in the ones that are done by PCR. There is a relatively small percent, maybe 10% of the total. But they've totally removed that in Florida. So they took those 10,000 that were antigen test positive and don't count them as confirmed cases. And I don't know if it's somewhere on their website or if it's just disappeared. But her site has about 10,000 more cases than Florida does because of that. And I heard her speak tonight, and they were saying, well, you know, it's a, you're not there, but it's a, it looks like they're data representations are faithful. And she said, no, that the numbers are very dependent upon where they do the testing and that they're under, you know, there's minority communities that have a higher level of fatal cases. And depending upon how much testing they do in those neighborhoods, they can make it look like the fatality rate is significantly better because they're taking it, getting data from regions that socioeconomically better, and therefore they'll have a better prognosis, and they can kind of shuffle around what they're using, what they aren't. But the numbers they're coming up with, they increase the test to get up to 15,000 positives. And they were able to lower the percent positive from 20-something down to 15 by doing that. But it's, I think they cut back on the testing for the latest series. And they had 12,000 cases, you know, 12,624 today. So they're still now regularly reporting above 10,000. The last 3 days, it was 12,785, then 15,300, then 12,624. And this is the weekend. So their weekend numbers averaged almost 13,000 cases. Well, I guess they did. They averaged over 13,000 cases a day in Florida. And so the situation is dire. The idea that these counties that have these high levels, and they are very high, and Miami-Dade and Broward counties and in Florida, you know, they're saying all the schools have to open up. You know, so when they're shutting them down, they kind of did that somewhat selectively by what the frequency was in the counties. So a lot of the state basically decided that not shutting down, once they were lifting the restrictions, they lifted them first in the areas where there weren't as many cases, and took a little bit longer to lift it in the ones that were higher. Now with the school, they don't care what the numbers are. They're not going to say, well, you know, counties that have under X number of cases or counties that have a lower frequency, then right, they have to open the schools, whereas the ones that are higher can, you know, basically do them online because they're so high. So they totally disregarded any of that data. They just said all schools in Florida have to open up on whatever, you know, the middle of August. So they're, you know, less than 4 weeks away now, and or maybe it's about 4 weeks. So they're saying it's 4 weeks, you got to open it no matter what your levels are. And the levels are ridiculous. I mean, they had 15,000 cases in one day, and that's more than New York. They've got frequencies up in the neighborhood of 20% positive, which is also more than New York. And the only place that they look better than New York is on the deaths, because it's too early. They've had these big jumps and crossed 10,000 about a week ago or so, maybe it's two. And those patients are just getting into the ICU. They're going to take several weeks to pass away. And so
what do you expect the CFR rate to be in 2 to 3 weeks from now? Just have fun with it. I'm not going to hold you to it. What do you think?
Well, it depends what you're defining it as. I mean, if you're using a definition that they used for SARS, which was somebody that was basically had lab-confirmed pneumonia, and then it's in the 10 to 15% rate.
Got it.
But for these initial cases for Florida, for instance, it'll probably start out a little under that. And the reason it's going to start out a little under that is because this latest outbreak was fueled by young people going to bars, essentially. So they went to bars, they were close contact, they had no mask, and they got a very high rate of transmission. You know, last week or the week before, we mentioned the case up in, I think it was Jacksonville, where it's a birthday party for, I think the birthday girl was, you know, 30 or something, and all of her friends were in that same neighborhood. So they were high 20s, low 30s, as far as the age is concerned, and there were 15 of them. And all 15 of them got infected with the virus. And it turned out that seven of the staff members of the bar also ended up testing positive for the virus. So it's got this penetration rate of 100%. And those younger patients are still going to do better, at least as far as death is concerned. They're going to have a lower case fatality rate. So the case fatality rate initially will be on the lower side because these are younger patients. But the virus, because it's at such a high level in these younger people and transmitting it by them, that the older populations are going to start to develop symptoms because they got infected by these younger people, and they're going to end up in the hospital, and their fatality rate is going to go up. So the fatality rate will be really, really high right about the time they're supposed to be opening up the school. So that'll be the reports, just like New York was reporting, I guess, in the neighborhood of 800 deaths a day when they peaked.
Right.
And so Florida would have a shot at doing the exact same thing, as would Texas, as would Southern California, as would Arizona. So these numbers are going to be very, very negative, you know, from the point of view of, well, maybe this pandemic is easing up or getting better, or to take Trump's example. I mean, Trump looks at the fact that the U.S. was reporting 2,000 deaths a day, and then that dropped down to close to 200 deaths a day. And then he said, we've got the best fatality rate in the world. And frankly, all they have is two different sets of outbreaks and catching them between outbreaks, so that the number of deaths from the first outbreak in the Northeast, et cetera, is low because they've pretty much fully recovered. New York City, I think on Saturday, reported zero deaths. Saturday or Sunday, one of the days over the weekend, they had zero deaths. The whole state is generally in single digits. I mean, they were at 10 today. They were 5 yesterday. They were 6 the day before. So generally, they're in the 10 or lower category. Before that, they had 8 and 8, 9, 11. So, you know, it's been about 6 or 7 days in a row they've been in single digits as far as deaths were concerned, and not just for the city of New York, for the entire state of New York. So the Northeast got their outbreak under control, and they're having these lower numbers, and so they're not really contributing that much to the death rate. And and then the states in the South, where there is a lot of activity, that activity just started to skyrocket a couple of weeks ago. So, and in some of the states like Florida, these initial cases are younger. So they're not seeing the big spike in the deaths yet. You know, that's kind of waiting in their wings. And those numbers are going to start going up. They've already, in Texas, they've already ordered refrigerated trucks because the morgue is full, and they're going to start stacking the bodies in refrigerated trucks.
No room at the inn.
Right, right, and until they have room for them. And so it is a bunch of deja vu all over again. Results that the ICUs are almost filled to capacity. Some of these hospitals don't have any ICU beds, so they have to transfer them to another nearby hospital. In Arizona, they're not only going to another hospital, but they're going to another state. They're basically shipping their patients out to California and I think Nevada and I think maybe even Texas, but it's three different states are receiving their patients because they're totally overwhelmed. So the outbreak is you know, U.S. is number one in the world as far as cases are concerned and as far as deaths are concerned, and they're accelerating these numbers very, very quickly. And it's not limited to just the states that keep on being mentioned, you know, Florida, Texas, Arizona, and California, that is more widespread. There are many other states that have over 1,000 cases a day. Georgia today at 3,600 cases, Alabama had 1,800, North Carolina had 1,800, South Carolina had 1,500, Louisiana had 1,700. So just about all the states in the South are now reporting at least 1,000 cases per day. And Washington State had 1,100, Ohio had 1,200. So you've got some of the other states, you know, not in the South, that are still reporting large numbers of cases, well over 1,000, and then a bunch of the other ones are, you know, the 400 to 1,000 range. Minnesota had 491, Iowa had 404, Utah had 576, Nevada had 902, Wisconsin had 494, Missouri had 647, Virginia had 972, Indiana had 425, and Maryland had 418. I'll see a few more here. And Pennsylvania had 476, New York had 557, Illinois had 883. So those are all today, which are usually lower because they're pretty much reporting Sunday's data for most of these. So tomorrow, that list is going to be higher, and there will be a possibility that the record of about 70,000 cases will be broken tomorrow. If they don't, it'll be in the next few days. But that it's almost certain that the number of cases will go over 70,000 a day once again, and it might do it several days in a row in the upcoming week. So the pandemic is not going well here, in spite of Trump's comments, how things are looking good. And so, of course, now they have to blame somebody. So they started an attack on Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci, I think, has served for six different presidents. He's 79 years old. He's been doing this for a long time. He started, you know, being in the news more from HIV/AIDS, and that would have been in the late 70s, you know, 1980-ish. So that was 40 years ago.
Right. That's right.
He was talking. So he's been reporting these for a long time. His approval, the poll, who do you believe for your COVID data? And Fauci was like at an average for all the respondents at 67%, and Trump was at like 25%. It was like a 40-point differential. And so there's some talk that the attack on Fauci was because he's getting too much good publicity. But, you know, he's pretty much been locked out of the briefings, you know, that have come out periodically, not very often, from the task force. And so he hasn't been there for the last few of those. He hasn't really said much in the last month or two.
No, he's been quiet.
He hasn't had a face-to-face with Donald in that period. And I guess some of his planned meetings in the U.S. have been blocked, so he couldn't really answer questions for the public. But he scheduled things outside of the U.S. He's doing these podcasts and these interviews, and
right.
You know, he's kind of giving the real story on the outbreak and the stuff that Trump is putting out is just.
Do you know Dr. Fauci?
No, I've exchanged emails with him, but I haven't really met him personally.
Right.
But I certainly know of him. And
yeah. Just curious if you knew him professionally too.
Well, he's more in the vaccine development area, that not as much as what I've been that focus. I mean, I've been looking at how the viruses evolve, but not actually making a vaccine. And he's more involved with that. He's NIAID, so that's infectious diseases. In any event, what this is representing, and this is what I've done for multiple times now. I said, started saying it quite a while, that Trump is really anti-science. He's only interested in scientific data if it'll support what he believes reality is. He's totally out of touch with reality.
Oh, that's all true.
And Fauci will, you know, say this is the deal. And a few times, you know, the new data, because the new virus kind of changed something. So when that happened, he said, well, it looked like this was the way things were going, but now we kind of switched. I mean, the masks are an example. And initially, the CDC was saying the general public didn't need masks.
Right.
And the reason they were saying that was because they didn't have masks. And, you know, what they were initially talking about were like N95 masks. And as you know, there's been a shortage of those. And so they didn't want to say, oh, you should all wear an N95 mask, because they would buy up all the supplies and the healthcare workers wouldn't be able to get masks. And so they eventually saw data that indicated that if you wear a mask, that significantly reduces the distance the virus is going to travel if you're talking or coughing. Mm-hmm. And so you should wear masks primarily to protect others. And for your protection, the estimates were like it keeps 70% of the virus out. But that means it lets 30% of the virus in. And there's a big difference between 30% of the virus and an N95, which would let 5% of the virus in. And but nonetheless, they're trying to, the head of the Surgeon General, who was out over the weekend, is saying, oh, we can get this all under control in 2 or 3 weeks if everybody would wear masks and kind of limit activities type of things. And, you know, it's another example where they're just kind of putting out data which is not reliable. In the U.S., probably the best examples are in the Northeast, in New York and New Jersey, which had, in Connecticut, I guess, had an explosion of cases. And then they had very strict lockdowns. And as a result, they got it under control. But they didn't get it under control for 2 or 3 weeks. It took, you know, 4 to 6 weeks or something to kind of get the virus under control, so that they could lift the restrictions, and then they wouldn't be inundated with a lot of new cases. I mean, they still have, you know, 500 to 700 new cases every day, but they're more manageable. It hasn't affected the death rate. The death rate is, like I said, dropped down to single digits, and it's more or less stayed at single digits. It got up to 10 today, but, you know, it's been 5, 6, 7, 8 in the last several days. And so that's a reasonable number. And that's part of the reason the totals for the U.S. dropped down to 200 or 300. But it's already going up. They're getting close to 1,000 again. The weekends were a little bit lower than 1,000. But before the weekend, they had gotten up to 1,000. And with all of these admissions and these high percentages of the cases and the high frequency of testing, I mean, there's still a lot more people out there that are getting infected. And part of it is some of these states, you know, just because you say you need to wear a mask, people don't. You know, they avoid the mask. They think the mask has got a stigma or a political affiliation.
Well, there's also the talk about rebreathing carbon dioxide and bacterial in the moist, hot environment. I'm just telling you what's out there. That's all. The moist content within the mask is good for growing germs, blah, blah, blah. This is what's out there. I'm just laying it out. Handle it. You got it.
Well, most of these masks, in theory,
Who's – oh, you mentioned – yes, yes, yes. We know that. You mentioned the other day that some professionals are being told now to try to sterilize or otherwise clean their masks again. Are we doing that again?
That's a recommendation. I think they're alone. I mean, you can just look at the U.S., okay? The U.S. is number one in the world on cases. And when these cases get rolling, and they do get rolling because they're all the Italian strain. So when the Italian strain basically gets a foothold and gets to a critical percentage of the population, then the virus spreads. It spreads exponentially, and the hospitals get inundated. And when they do that, they at least start out by following the original procedure. The original procedure calls for you only using the mask once and changing it multiple times a day. And so if they're following the procedures they're supposed to be using, then they can go through a lot of masks fairly quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And if you got the situation like you've got in the U.S., where you've got multiple outbreaks coming up simultaneously, you've got all the states that were mentioned as the leaders, the four top states, but then you've got all these other states in the South that are reporting 500 to 1,000 new cases. And so you've got a lot of more healthcare workers that normally don't require a mask for a lot of their duties. And now all of a sudden, there's all these COVID cases coming in. You don't know who's got it and who doesn't. So everybody's wearing a mask. And those that have a contact with the patients are likely discarding the mask and putting on a new one. So this idea, I mean, there you go. This is a good comparison. It's just like the guys on Fox and Friends talking about, well, this is an Ebola. And to talk about a virus that doesn't transmit easily, it's killed only one person. Now you've got people saying, well, you know, it might protect you from the virus, but you might be breathing in some carbon dioxide or something, whatever the hell they're saying. They are totally nuts. They don't they're analytically challenged. They don't know what a risk-reward ratio is. They come up with something that's theoretical, and then decide that, well, that's what's going to be the determining factor. Mm-hmm. You're going to have carbon dioxide. Yeah, right. I mean, if that's the case, the OSHA would come down and say, well, you can't be wearing masks all day. You're going to get too much carbon dioxide. These are stupid arguments. These are reasons people don't want to wear masks. And this is the reason the lockdowns were a total failure, especially in the South and in the Southwest, because they don't have enough compliance. They got too many people walking around without the mask, spreading the virus, being all, you know, ready and willing to go into bars and not have the mask on at all and be at close contact for extended period of times, and getting infected. And then they've got these other bozos, a 30-year-old that died a couple days ago, and he died because he got infected at a COVID party where there's one person that's confirmed, and then everybody else goes in to have contact with that person to see if the virus was real or a hoax. And the guy got infected and he died. He's 30 years old. And he said, I think I made a mistake. You know, I thought it was a hoax and that you couldn't get infected.
Well, famous last words, indeed.
I went to the COVID party and here I am. I think I made a mistake, he said, within minutes or hours of dying. And he was just 30 years old. So there's a lot of idiots out there that don't know what they're doing. They take their cues from either their peers or watching the cable TV or watching a stream or listening to her on the radio of utter, you know, people that don't have a clue what they're talking about, and they're spouting all this utter nonsense and convincing people that A, the virus isn't that dangerous, or B, the mask isn't really necessary, or C, the mask is a political statement, and you're, you know, if you wear a mask, you're a Democrat or something to that effect. And the virus thinks it's great.
That's how you can tell a Democrat. Now I know.
They got all these fools out there that are basically going around and going in crowded rooms and talking or screaming if they're in, you know, a bar where there's a band playing or something. And they're just spreading the virus all over the place. And that's why, that's part of the reason the U.S. is number one. The other part is you know, their president, who's supposed to set the examples, and the day he says that the CDC came to the conclusion that you should be wearing a mask, he follows that immediately by saying, but I'm not going to wear one because, you know, I don't think I look good in them. So he did go to Bethesda over the weekend, or it was on Friday. And he did wear a mask. He had a nice black mask that had a little presidential seal.
It had the presidential seal on it. There you go.
Right. And he thought that he didn't really look that bad. And then he comes out and says, "Well, I've never really been against masks. You know that you know they should be worn in appropriate settings." Now, it's not clear what his definition of appropriate settings. The only settings that he's, you know, worn the mask in public has been on a hospital visit. And so, you know, he's kind of implying that, well, if you're going to a hospital and you got all these sick patients there and some of them might have COVID or most of them have COVID, that, you know, it would be appropriate to wear a mask. And he's probably got the reason for wearing the mask wrong. I think you're supposed to wear the mask for protection as opposed to protecting others from your coughing. So he says it's appropriate in certain instances. So it's unclear whether, you know, it's going to be appropriate in a rally, but I don't know when he's going to have another rally because he canceled the one in New Hampshire.
Well, and the Jacksonville one now is on the ropes. It's not looking good.
Well, that's what I thought a couple of days ago, but I just heard today that you know, they were telling Jacksonville they still have every intention of holding their convention. So they're kind of, you know, at least telling Jacksonville, who has to get ready for them, that they're still coming. And so, you know, there's he wants to do a bunch of rallies between now and Jacksonville. And he's already got a bad record in Tulsa. Tulsa's numbers went up. Oklahoma's numbers went up. And Secret Service got infected. And Pence went to Arizona and the Secret Service got infected. So this traveling around, they're starting to realize it's not a good look. It's showing that they don't really worry about the virus. The virus isn't a big deal. And they don't even need to wear a mask. And they're sending out this message. And it's a mixed message. I mean, even Trump, it's a mixed message where, you know, when he made the announcement, he said, but he's not going to wear it. And when he does wear it, he says they're appropriate in certain situations. But he hasn't worn it in public anywhere other than a hospital. And most of the people that are getting affected aren't visiting patients in a hospital. Most of the people that are getting affected are getting infected by other people in their workplace, in their neighborhood, you know, wherever they're in their local supermarket or or Walmart or whatever, that's where they're likely to run into people that have the virus and where they ask you to wear a mask. And so it's still going to be interesting to see what Trump ends up doing with regard to the mask wearing. But that's the reason that the opening of the schools isn't going to happen. And the reason is that these places that have the highest numbers that are throughout the South and the Southwest, and you know, as I read off the list, I think every state in the South has at least 500 cases a day. And some of them have 1,500 or 3,000 cases in addition to the high ones. And when they have that level of virus circulating,
right,
and they've got populations that either, you know, is willing to go to a party to see if it's real because they think it's a hoax, or they feel that,
well,
you know,
that's the same kind of person who would drink bleach, Henry.
No, I don't think so. The person that drinks bleach actually thinks it's going to help them from getting the virus. So they're afraid of the virus, and they're taking this idiot approach to try to prevent themselves from getting it. The ones that go to the COVID parties are exactly the opposite. They're putting themselves in harm's way to prove that the virus doesn't exist, or that if they get it, it's, you know, it's a mild flu, and they're not really going to get that sick from it, and it's all a hoax. So they're willing to get infected to prove that it's not a big deal. And then, you know, when they're on their deathbed,
two sides
of
the same crazy coin.
Yeah, well, they're both crazy. I agree with you there. The ones that go to the parties are crazy, and the ones that drink bleach are crazy. But they're doing it for two different reasons. One, they're doing it to get the virus, and the other, they're doing it to kill the virus. And, you know, neither of them are a smart idea. But you've got this portion of the population that doesn't want to wear a mask, wants to ridicule people that do wear a mask, and they don't think that the COVID is a big deal. They think that at most it's a flu-like virus, and that the only people that are really going to be affected adversely are the ones that have underlying conditions or are elderly. And therefore, it's not a big deal. They don't have to worry about it. They can do what they want. And that's what happened with the initial outbreaks. The initial outbreaks basically were able to flatten the curves, and they didn't necessarily bring the level down. And that also happened in these areas that didn't have the major outbreaks. They had a lower amount of virus. They were able to keep it from going up. You know, they got their R0 down to about one. And so they kind of, each person was only infecting one other person. So they were maintaining the virus, but they weren't really increasing it dramatically. And then when they had Memorial Day weekend, they thought that, well, that's the green light, that we don't have to follow the lockdowns. We're good to go. We can go to eat at restaurants inside, or go to bars, or do, you know, essentially whatever they wanted. And the virus was just sitting around waiting. There was enough virus there because it hadn't really gotten down to a low level where you could do reasonable contact tracing. And they got these outbreaks in these states that have the high amounts, but then they also had it in these other states, which took a little bit longer to get going, but they're all going up. They're getting, you know, in the neighborhood of 1,000 to 3,000 cases, or they, if they're not there this week, they'll be there next week, because it's kind of doubling in a week or so. It's just going to be a disaster. It's not going to get knocked down. people are going to start dying, and nobody's going to go to school because, you know, unless it's online, because the parents are going to see that it's dangerous. They'll see that, you know, Trump's proclamations don't work. The virus doesn't care what Trump says. Some of the people do, and they end up getting infected because they follow his bad advice. And now he's trying to get Fauci out of the picture so that everything's going to be Trump's idea. Dr. Trump is going to cure the United States, and he's created, you know, he's produced the number one in cases, and he's not giving that up. You know, by the time school's ready to open,
he's going to wear it one way or the other, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
All right, Henry, off and running.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
But there'll be a lot of action this week.
Okay. Thanks much. Okay. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Okay. That's our program Monday night. Do try to get prepared. There are just too many indicators out there that big things are just around the corner. All right. Talk to you tomorrow night. Be well. Take care.